Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, July 18th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 41, the second paragraph, As Soon as I Regained My Ability to Think. And we'll be reading that one paragraph and unpacking it only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Anne Marie M., the 12 Traditions, Judy M., and the readers of the text are Robin P., Kathy Jo P., and Donna W., and the newcomer greeter is Nan K., and announcements is Janice P.M. The share ID for Wednesday, July 17th, yesterday, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,168. That is 13168. And for Thursday, July 18th, that was last week, and the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,171. That's 13171. Okay, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 Steps. Good morning, Anne Marie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. The Steps of OA. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne Marie. And I will now ask Judy M. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Judy M. in Florida, and the 12 traditions. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
And thank you, Judy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again, and that's the star 1, not the mute button on your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 41, the second paragraph at the bottom of the page. As soon as I regain my ability to think, and we'll be reading through that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Robin P. to get us started. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Mo. I'm Robin. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. As soon as I regained my ability to think, I went carefully over that evening in Washington. Not only had I been off guard, I had made no fight whatsoever against the first drink. This time, I had not thought of the consequences at all. I had commenced to drink as carelessly as though the cocktails were ginger ale. I now remembered what my alcoholic friends had told me, how they prophesied that if I had an alcoholic mind, the time and place would come. I would drink. One sec. Again, they had said that though I did raise a defense, it would one day give way before some trivial reason for having a drink. Well, just that did happen and more, but what I had learned of alcoholism did not occur to me at all. I knew from that moment that I had an alcoholic mind. I saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help me in those strange mental blank spots. I had never been able to understand people who said that a problem had them hopelessly defeated. I knew then it was a crushing blow. And again, I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And I've been through those moments. And it was so baffling to me. I just couldn't fathom how, again, it happened. It felt like Russian roulette. And I would just think, oh, my gosh, I had this down. And I knew I wasn't. There was no way I was going to pick up again. And self-knowledge availed me nothing. And to me, it's about staying connected to the program, being of service to God and my fellows, and working the steps and staying close to the program and just staying surrendered in all my affairs. You know, I'm powerless over food, and my life's become unmanageable. I've come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, and I've made the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And if I do that every day, and I sincerely do it, and I stay close, and just stay in service, and I have a much better chance been keeping myself vulnerable to those strange mental blank spots that are not really beyond, they're just beyond my own personal power. I need a power greater than myself. And that cockiness of like, I got this, today's different, you know, today and today and today, you know, and I'm so grateful. I have 4 years of abstinence and one day at a time, and it's through the grace of God in this program. And I'm just so grateful to not be in those precarious places where I just, it's like that old Russian roulette. I don't have to live there today. I get to live in recovery. And for that, I'm eternally grateful to God. With that, I pass. Thanks so much. God bless everybody in your recovery. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
And thank you, Robin P., for getting us started. And I will now open the lines up for those of you who would like to share.
Roz G.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait. One at a time.
Stacy B.
I heard Stacy.
Yes.
I heard Roz.
John.
Donna B.
Terry B.
Say that again. Perry?
Perry B. Uh-huh.
Okay, gotcha, Perry. One more.
Ida A.
Gotcha. Okay. I don't have all the last initials. Stacy, I didn't get your last initial. Roz, I know yours. G, John K, Donna B, Perry B, and Ida A. Stacy, you're on first. Stacy, is it Stacy B?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
thank
I did
you,
it.
Honey. Yeah, you did.
Got through that muddle. Okay, here you go, Stacy. Thank you.
Thank you. I remember sitting in a meeting and somebody said, I have a disease that tells me I don't have a disease. And I turned to the person next to me and whispered, is that true? She goes, yeah, that's what the disease does to us. It just tells us we don't have it. So it's when we're in this, we don't even know it. We're thinking we're normal for a few minutes or whatever it is. And it's real. That's the baffling part of it is you have a disease that, you know, like any other disease gives you symptoms of pain or something to let you know if you're kind of going off a little bit, this is causing pain and you stop. But our disease is going, oh, no, go ahead. It's fine. Step, you know, put your toe in the water there. You're going to be great. So, yeah, it's really and it happens with all of the addictions. And so I really want to bless all of us for, you know, sticking in there and trying our best and with this. And we're just going to keep on plugging along, even with. Well, all we have to deal with this special type of disease we have. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Stacy B., for getting us started. Roz G., followed by John K. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning. My name is Roz G., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I'm going to just kind of walk through this paragraph and parallel it with my last binge. I'm seeing a therapist, and there's a Blaze Pizza restaurant along the path to the therapist. And the last time that I ate a whole pizza was there, and I was off guard because I had dealt with some serious things. So I walked past the pizza restaurant thinking that they had cauliflower crust. And I rationalized myself into that, walked in, and didn't think of the consequences of eating cauliflower crust and all the toppings that go on regular pizza. And then I commenced to eat carelessly the cauliflower pizza, eat it all. And I remembered how one of my sponsors told me, pizza is effing delicious. But she said it in a way that, you know, she doesn't eat it because she knows how effing delicious it is, effing good. And, you know, I understand that. And I was just like, well, this is good, you know? And I knew that I was, you know, I'm a compulsive overeater. What in the hell am I doing here? And I came back and thought about it, and I felt crap in the morning. And I finally told them the truth. I wrote it all out in an email. And this person on the, you know, this new sponsor that I have was so, so kind about it and has spent hours with me going over what happened, the strange mental blank spot that I had, that self-knowledge, years in Overeaters Anonymous, whatever I have in my life is nothing to do with the alcoholic mind that I have. And I've been instructed to walk, not even park, in the direction of that place, and not even to eat anything that resembles pizza. And I'm taking her direction, and I have 8 days of clean abstinence. And I'm very grateful for that, holding on to it with dear life. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. John K., followed by Donna B. John, good morning.
Good morning, Mo. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive eater in Los Angeles. You know, that phrase, those strange mental blank spots, this is probably the most important phrase in all three of these stories about insanity of addiction in this chapter. You know, the first two, Jim and the whiskey and the milk, and then the Jaywalker, there are ways of explaining to somebody new in program how an addict's brain works and how it warps perception. But this story is a cautionary tale. You know, it points out that there's no intellectually getting ahead of the twist in the mind. You know, I've had sponsees who slipped and, you know, they come in and said, oh, you know, I ate because this happened, I ate because that happened. And they made me really valid, you know, upsetting, traumatic things that happened to them. But then I said, no, you ate because you're a compulsive eater. I said, think of it. When that really traumatic thing happened, did you think about placing a bet on a horse? And they just look at me like I'm crazy. And I go, no, of course not. But I can guarantee you a sponsor in GA would hear that. And that's because, like Parlin always says, food's not the problem, it's the solution for us. And then that phrase, willpower and self-knowledge would not help. But, you know, it's not an intellectual awakening, it's a spiritual awakening, as they say. You know, realization that I cannot do this myself, you know. And I know that with these mental blank spots, I've known many, many people, not with just a month or two, but 3, 4, 5 years of absence, who ended up back in the food because of that. It's almost human nature that if you've been doing something for a while, maybe even a long time, you think you've mastered it. And with many things in our lives, this is true. But I can tell you this because I'm sure of it, because I've been a cautionary tale to others. You know, I was in a program for years and was still ended up back in the food. Why? Because my idea what OA was going to meetings and talking about my problems. I made no attempt to enlarge my spiritual life. And what I do understand today is all this time in program, all these 24 years of abstinence, it doesn't help give me a special abstinence muscle. I don't get dispensation from this disease. I don't get a few days of being in the food and then being able to get out of it. It just doesn't work. You know, today I look at, and it's really, thank God for my time, but I always say all of us who have abstinence, whether we have a couple of days or we have 40 years, we're all just climbing up the outside of the Empire State Building. And at the end of the day, we're all just one let go away from becoming splat. And you know what? The higher up that building you are, the bigger the splat's going to be and the harder it'll be to combat. And so for me, a day at a time, I look around at these guys that and women in L.A. who've got 20, 30, 40 years, and I do what they do. And you know what they're doing? The same damn thing they were doing in their first week of abstinence. They realized this works. Don't touch it. Don't change it. Just keep doing the same thing. And don't listen to the disease, because the disease is the one that's going to be whispering, you know, you can take it easy. And it'll find whatever way it can, and it'll be as subtle as it needs to be imperceptible, to get us to start on that path back into the food. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, John, very much. Donna B., followed by Perry B. Donna?
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver.
Donna, could you speak up just a little bit louder?
Yes.
Thank you. Much better. Thank you.
Oh, good. Okay, sorry. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on the line. They had said, though I did raise a defense, it would one day give way before some trivial reason for having a drink. And what really jumps out to me in that specific line is they had said. I am working with a sponsor who has what I want. She has abstained from alcoholism and bulimia for many years, despite the challenges in her life. She shows me, she's a living example that I watch very, very closely, how life continues to happen, but she remains abstinent. So it's important to me, this idea they had said. So I'm looking at what they are doing. And when they, quote unquote, make suggestions to me, I take those suggestions. My sponsor told me to get on my knees every morning and ask God to keep me sober and abstinent. And every night when I go to bed, to thank God for keeping me sober and abstinent. And all throughout the day, whenever I have a food thought, a body image thought, exercise thought, whatever, however the disease manifests itself at that specific moment, God, please relieve me of the obsession with food. I am reminded all throughout the day that I have a disease and that I have a solution. And I am constantly listening and watching to what they are saying. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Perry B., followed by Ida A. Perry?
Hi, it's Perry B., compulsive overeater in Coral Springs, Florida. I am so grateful this morning to be up and alive and to be able to share that I'm going into my fourth day of abstinence after being a very, very up and down with my program, and my sponsor is away right now. So I am so grateful to have everyone on the meeting this morning. I have a father that's a chiropractic doctor and a nutritionist, and, you know, he's always talking to me about different food plans and this doctor and that doctor. And I have my big book right in front of me, and I was able to follow along this morning with the page 41 and 42. And I can completely relate to everything that it says, because as soon as I'm regaining my ability to think clear, which is right now, I right away am thinking of, you know, what would be my next, you know, right plan of action, which for me is to continue abstaining from sugar and flour one day at a time, as well as alcohol, abstaining from going to places with people that are friends that love to eat with me, because I know that that influences me. And just picking up that one bite, thinking that that's not going to throw me off my food plan is wrong. I mean, I had a chicken yesterday my husband brought home from Publix. Unbelievable. I'm returning it today. There's got to be sugar in it, and I'm going to look and ask them. It gave me the allergy of the body, where I know my body starts itching. I get these horrible sensations in my toes. And it was not fun, because here I'm thinking that I'm being abstinent by eating chicken, and this chicken is not made the way that it should be made. So I now know I have to make chicken at home by myself, in my own oven or slow cooker, because I'm not going to be adding sugar of any type. And as we know, I'm a massage therapist. There's got to be 20 different names at least for sugar. And there's so many additives in foods nowadays. I have to be so careful to read so carefully and not to be compulsive to pick things up off the shelves or to go in these restaurants that are full of monosodium glutamate, these really bad poisons. I am just so careful now. I had to stay home for 2 whole days to recover from a shoulder pain because I compulsively went to the pool after a whole day out, knowing at 7:30 at night, that's not the time I go to the pool and swim. I go in the morning between 7:30 and 10 because that's when my body is ready and refreshed. And my mental capacity that day was, oh, I have to do this, even though my doctor just told me that I have bursitis of my left shoulder, even though I just went to the chiropractor. So I have to listen to my body, and I have to read ingredients. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Perry B. And before we get to Ida A., I just remind everybody that we are on page 41, the second paragraph. As soon as I regained my ability to think, and we'll have Ida A., and then after her, I'll take more names. Ida.
Thanks, Mo. Thanks for your service, and thank you for your gracious way of being in this world. And I like when you share, and I like when you do service. Hey, and everybody, thanks for being here. I hear it's seven-year anniversary, which rocks, and I am beside myself grateful to be a compulsive overeater, but to have found you, to have found you so I don't have to be an I. I don't have to do this program on my own. What I had learned about compulsive overeating did not occur to me. Yeah, and frequently doesn't. That's why I need all of you. I do have that alcoholic mind, and I'll always eat. I will always eat without this program. I will compulsively overeat, and then I'll block the sunlight of the spirit, and that's just who I am. I'm an addict. My ability to think is broken, and I get it. I know I'll forget it, but today I get it. So I need that daily discipline that immerses me with all of you and in the steps. My alcoholic mind gets things wrong often, and that's okay. Today I know that, but that's okay. I'm in great company. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm incapable of thinking myself out of this disease. And wow, yep, that's who I am today. Just got back from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I'm a bit jet-lagged, going to go into work today. But this trip was different. And it's not the first trip that's been different. It used to be my history was eating myself through 3 planes, the rent-a-car, 3 states, and starting with those wonderful, oh, you Philly warm pretzel people with the hoagies? Yeah, yeah. And gluttonously just going through all of my family activity. And I used to say 6,000 calories was a fasting day back there, you know. And today it's not about the food. It's about trying to make the connection with family and my creator. So because of recovery and all of you, I attended daily meetings in Lancaster, some super cool AA meetings, super cool meeting locations, and I showed up for my family. I didn't need to overeat over anything, and that's a miracle. It is a crazy miracle. Yeah, and it turns out it's never been about the food. But every time I go back to my family and I show up without being the food, it's such a better visit. Today I see just how powerless I am over so much. And I used to live in fear, and I used to live in self-will and ego, and I just, program teaches me a better way, and I am more authentic Ida than I've ever been. Food blocked my shine, and now I have this growing connection with the Creator, and you know what? There's some days a little like this in. Super cool. Hey, thanks for letting me be here, and thanks for being here, everybody. I pass.
Thank you. Perfect timing. And now I'll open the lines up for more for those who'd like to share.
Donna W.
Donna W.
Laura R.
Sherry K. V.
Liat T.D.
Kelly T.
Laura R. Sherry K. V.
I heard Liat, Liat T.D., and I heard Sherry K. B. Wait a minute, I
Laura?
Got Donna W, Marilyn T, Leah T D, Sherry K B,
Bruce D,
Bruce D.
Suzanne A.
Suzanne A. We'll stop there. Okay. Donna W., Marilyn T., Layot T.D., Sherry K.B., Bruce E., and Suzanne A. Donna W., followed by Marilyn
Hello.
T.
Hello, hello. It's Donna W. checking in from Palo Alto, California. Thanks so much for your service today, Mo. I'm grateful for my abstinence and my recovery today. And so, you know, Fred has this, he doesn't have any defense against the first bite or the first drink because he's not working on a spiritual solution. And, you know, things that I've learned is that I have no mental defense against the first bite. And my defense must come from a power greater than myself, and I must constantly think of others. I must be of service. So I just want to say for today, I'm feeling some insecurity. I'm feeling depressed. And so I really need to lean into my higher power because I don't, you know, my where I go is like I got to figure my whole life out. And then the food starts to look like a solution. So I need to be God-reliant, not self-reliant today, not food-reliant. And yesterday really helped to take the day 1 hour at a time. And just, you know, all I need to do is be here now, let God manage the rest and get on God's beam and trust that whatever is in front of me is a gift that God's given to me as a gift. And I just really need to work my spiritual program today and let God manage my life and lean into program. Thanks for listening and a pass.
Thank you, Donna W. Marilyn T., followed by Layot T.D.
This is Marilyn T., compulsive overeater, grateful to be here, and thanks, Mo. So the things that I have underlined on this paragraph are, this time I had no thought of the consequences at all. And then and I saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help in those strange mental blank spots. And the last one I circled, which it was a crushing blow. Yeah, I just recently did relapse after a long period of abstinence. Not long, long, but, you know, long. I don't know how to discuss it. But anyway, the bottom line is I failed to be in fit spiritual condition. I failed to live in 10, 11, and 12. And I need to be, this has to be smashed home to me. It just has to be smashed home. But, you know, thank goodness for this program. Thank goodness for this book, quite frankly, that makes me realize that I can never go back there again totally into relapse. I can catch myself and realize I did do this and immediately get my, I'll just say, shit together. So with that, I pass and thank you all for being here.
And thank you, Marilyn T. Layot T.D., followed by Sherry K.B. Layot, good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, all my brothers and sisters. Good morning, lineup. Bay Area people there. It's sunny here. I just came back from Israel, and you know, I was thinking also about to this morning, you know, Fred is not one of the characters that I relate to because he's a high bottom drunk. You know, he had everything going on for him. He had money. He didn't lose anything. He was popular. You know, I relate more to Jim that lost everything. And his boss ended up to be the person that took over his business. You know, and that's what I do. I just destroy everything before I surrender. But Fred is not. And what I see, the reason why I said, you know, I picked up those two women that I took through the steps in Israel, and very quickly, because I, you know, I know that it's not if we're going to eat again, it's when we're going to eat again. So I really, for me, there's no time even to read the big book before I, you know, the steps come first, and then if, you know, after that, we can read the big book. But, you know, I see how, you know, there is that. We're desperate. We'll do everything and stuff. And then, you know, they get the gifts and they're not depressed anymore. And all of a sudden, I don't really want to do this. This is too much work. This is hard, you know. And you know, something in my nature or in the compulsive order, the alcoholic nature is to graduate, give me that magic pill, you know, but I have a disease that doesn't go away. Bodily, that's the way I am. Physiologically, I was built, you know, once I put that stuff in my body, you know, I develop that craving. And then I have a really seriously complicated problem in my head that convinces me at some point I can't take it to go and eat. So I am in limbo, and this needs daily attention. And it's not about, sometimes it's not about growth for me. It's just to be able to breathe in the moment, you know. And every day I wake up, every day I'm a compulsive eater. I'm an addict. I wake up with that irritability, discontentment. I wake up that way. And I need some relief. I need that even comfort that the food can't give me anymore. And God does. And so I'm so grateful. But I still want to wake up in the morning and do it. And even if I don't want to do it, I still do it because I have no choice. I'm so grateful that I'm still desperate. And I know that it's not if I'm going to eat or when I'm going to eat. It's going to happen.
Time.
I love you all. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Leah TD. Sherry KB followed by Brucey. Sherry,
good morning. Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful to recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line. And welcome, newcomers. And happy anniversary of Vision for You. Today is 7 years today that a Vision for You started 7 years ago. And I just want to acknowledge, thank you, God, for a Vision for You. With that, I'll move on. But thank you, God, for a Vision for You. Where were you 7 years ago? So this is what jumped out at me this morning. As soon as I regained my ability to think, wow, because you know what that tells me? That tells me not only in the strange mental blank spot, the mental twist, the mental obsession, but, you know, in that food fog, that brain fog, you know, I can remember just, you know, I call it a sugar haze, like Jimi Hendrix, if you ever remember that. But, you know, that's what happens is that we go into this place that we just, every thought of recovery goes out the window, and he's admitting it. When I regained my ability to think, and I went over the evening, and I had no fight against the first bite, that's what it's talking about here. And that, you know, here is, you know, that if I was true a compulsive overeater, that the time and place would come that I would eat again. And it was predicted here. So this is like, you know, this is facts here. It's stating the facts here. And that I would have no defense against the first bite and eat from for some trivial reason. I mean, I've had years of recovery where I just all of a sudden out of the blue, just I don't know how I got there, but there I was. I was in the food again. And that has happened to me in the past. And, you know, if I keep my nose in this book and I work the steps and I ask God to guide and direct me, keep me absent happily and contently, I'll be fine. But, you know, when I'm trying to run the Sherry Show, this isn't going to work. And that knowledge avails me nothing. I don't care how much knowledge I know, how many diets I know, how much to eat, how much to do this and this and that. It doesn't matter, because when that strange mental blank spot gets in there, self-knowledge and everything, you know, my recovery goes out the window. If I don't have my will lined up with my higher power, I'm in trouble. If I don't work these steps, I'm in trouble. If I don't keep my nose in this big book, I'm in trouble. If I don't turn my will and my life over to my higher power every day, every minute of the day, throughout the day, especially when I'm having problems, especially when I'm restless, irritable, discontent, or in fear, doubt, and insecurity, which I do get into. Just because I'm recovered doesn't mean that doesn't happen for me. I have to be on guard with my higher power's care, because I am a compulsive overeater, a true compulsive overeater, and that's never going to change. But, you know, being in this book, relying on my higher power, turning my will and my life over to the care of my higher power, asking it happily and contently and neutral around the food, that's what makes a difference. And with that, I pass. And happy anniversary. Yay.
Uh-huh. You're right. Yay, 7 years. All right. Bruce E., followed by Suzanne A. And it looks like we may have time for one or two more quick shares after that. Bruce, good morning. I thought I heard Bruce. Bruce E., press star 1 to unmute. We can't hear you. I can't hear you. All right. We're going to go on to Suzanne A.
Hi, my name's Suzanne A. I'm a compulsive eater, bulimic, and anorexic.
Good morning, Suzanne. Yes, I can hear you.
Hi. So I haven't shared on this meeting ever. I love this meeting, and thank you for being here. The paragraph we were reading just really speaks to me, especially the part of how what I learned of alcoholism did not occur to me at all. Just reflecting on, you know, recently my husband was saying, you know, with everything that you went through with your eating disorder or food problem, compulsive eating, why doesn't that occur to you, like the hospitalizations and et cetera, and the medical problems from the bulimia and the anorexia? And it's like this sums it up, this paragraph. Like, I cannot bring into my mind the pain that the food, the exercise, whatever manifestation of the disease, I can't bring into my mind when I'm restless, irritable, and discontent and just wanting to beeline for the food. I'm in recovery from alcohol in AA, and the big book has always spoken to me, and it has gotten, like, the 12 steps has gotten me sober, but when it comes to the food, I am still struggling, and I did have a period of abstinence in the past, and I'm struggling to get one day. I have one day today, but without fail, every day at 3 o'clock, around that time, I get restless, irritable, discontent, and I go back to the food. So I know what I need to do. I am slowly coming around to, like, getting the nerve up to call for a Vision for You sponsor so I can work the steps so I can get freedom around the food. It just, like, verifies, again, this paragraph of, or it begs the question for me, is this me? Is this me with the food and the food behaviors? So I'm just glad to be here. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Suzanne, and stay with us. Just remind people where we are. We're on page 41, the second paragraph. As soon as I regain my ability to think, and I can take maybe two or three more.
Name is R.
Jane R.
I got Miriam Rifka, and who was the other
Laura.
One? Laura. Laura R.
Yep.
And Patty T. Okay. Miriam Rifka.
Hi, thanks so much. It's Miriam Rifka, a recovered compulsive eater in New Jersey. And I just wanted to chime in here. You know, I've been in these rooms for about 6 years and always, like, you know, abstinent and eating and abstinent and eating and working the steps and doing okay and calling myself recovered and picking up over and over and over again. And we see in the big book so many times that this recovery comes, right? What are we talking about here? That this obsession of the mind, this mental twist that always convinces me to pick up the food is my real problem. And the only way to keep that at bay is by working the steps and doing what I need to do. And for me, if I've been through steps 1 through 9, then I need to be continuing by working 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. And what happens in my, what's been happening for me over the years is things will come up. Like, I'll work the steps and I'll have a really good foundation, and then something will happen and life will get really busy and my 10 steps will slack off. And, you know, it snowballs and one thing leads to the next, and the next thing I know, I'm eating. And I just wanted to share, I'm so grateful. I had the experience a few days ago that I, you know, my life is, again, getting really busy. It's the summertime, and I have young children, and we're running around, and it's just like it's crazy in a great way. And life was getting busy, and I wasn't doing as many 10 steps, and my sponsee wasn't calling so frequently, and I would just kind of not work with people for several days. And I had an evening that, again, like the thought came to my mind. It wasn't, you know, it's not going to come right away like to pick up ice cream, but it's like you can have a little extra chicken. You can, you know, whatever it is, these thoughts. And thank God, an alarm bell went off in my brain, and I called my sponsor, and I called a fellow on the line, and I realized, like, this is it. Like, this is the beginning of the end. If I want to stay recovered and have the spiritual connection, I have to keep doing this work. Otherwise, my brain is going to be broken, you know, just like we're talking about here. The only assurance I have is if I work these steps on a daily basis, and I'm just so grateful for the recognition of, like, yes, I've been down this road before, and if I want, I can do it again, but guess what? I don't want to. So I'm grateful that today I get to, you know, do this no matter what, even if life is crazy, because it's only going to get crazier if I end up picking up the food. And I just wanted to share that experience. Thanks for the opportunity, and I look forward to hearing others share.
Thank you, Miriam Rifka. Laura R., and if we have time, we'll fit in Patty T. Laura?
Hey, this is Laura R. from Colorado, recovered compulsive overeater. Very grateful today to be on the line, and happy birthday, a vision for you. Oh my gosh, what comes to mind for me is I now remembered what my alcoholic friends had told me, how they prophesied that if I had an alcoholic mind, the time and place would come, I would drink again. I am so grateful that there is clear instruction, there's clear, you know, on a vision for you, I hear a lot of people explain what the problem is, and I am so grateful, because a lot of times when I go to meetings, I just, when I hear, you know, he learned the problem, you know, a couple paragraphs before, he heard the problem, he didn't think he had the problem, but he heard the message, and he didn't take it, but the seed was planted. And, you know, it takes what it takes for all of us to finally get from our heads to our hearts if we're compulsive overeaters or not. But what just comes to me is how important it is for us to continue to carry a clear message. And I am so grateful. I remember the first time I heard, that paragraph, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. And that whole paragraph, someone kind of took me through it and said, what's the truth, Laura, when you eat? What's the truth when you drink? You know, what is the truth? And the truth is once I pick up, I cannot stop, period. You know, the truth is that my head always tells me that it's okay, even though once, you know, the truth that happens, like either I pick up and I go into a bender and I eat so much that I'm puking in the toilet, not, you know, just because it's too much to fill up my stomach. So many nights I've woken up in the middle of the night throwing up in the middle, you know, throwing up because I ate too much. And then I would wake up and say, yeah, I don't think I have a problem, or it's something else, you know. So to be able to have people, you know, carry a clear message of, hey, this is the problem. You are a compulsive overeater if, when you honestly want to, you cannot quit entirely, or if when eating you cannot control the amount you take, period. And that is my truth, you know. And so what's so cool is that we get to come here. Like, this is really where I come to for my, you know, understanding of the disease and the solution. And the solution is, what's so amazing, and I'll wrap up because I want the other speaker to be able to talk, is I get to hear so many amazing podcasts. If I have questions about, you know, God, or, you know, I just listened to Larry Kay's the other day because I struggle. You know, I can do the work, but I do the work. I don't allow God to do it to me. He said the word manic and gentle. I am not gentle, and I'm trying to learn how to let it come to me instead of me trying to, like, you know, like will my way through this stuff. So anyway, I'm so grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be amongst you fellows, and that's all I have. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura R. And Patty T., we have about 2 minutes for you. Can you do a quick one?
Yes, thank you, Mo. And you know what? I concur. That's all I want to say. I concur with everything that's been said on this line today, and all I know is that I am so grateful to be aware, finally, 12 years, almost 13 years in this program, to understand that I have the mind of an alcoholic, that I have that strange mental blank spot, that you know, I always thought it was the food and my behavior with the food. I never understood it was really between my ears, even though I've heard that a lot at the meetings. Oh, my problem is between my ears. I didn't get that because, you know what, guys, denial runs deep. it just runs really, really deep. And I'm so grateful today that I can be aware. Self-knowledge avails nothing. And that's why I get on this phone meeting every single day and call all of you as much as I can. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you, Patty T. That's perfect. We will now close the meeting, but I want to thank all those who shared and all those who gave service on this line, this meeting today, Thursday, Team Thursday, Anne Marie M., Judy M., Robin P., Kathy Jo P., Donna W., and Nan K. will be our newcomer greeter with the announcements of Janice P.M. So we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Kathy Jo, I'll have you do that reading for us.
Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Blaine, Minnesota at the soccer field. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.